All right, today, Tuesday, May 12th, 2020. Time is actually 5:16. Okay. all board members are present, and item 1A, call to order and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sound different.
One B, adoption of the agenda. Do we want to add that executive session?
What I would like to request that the board does is let's take action item 4E and move it down to 4H and slide everything else up one.
And just switch an E to H and H to E.
No, let's just move E down to the bottom, whatever.
Oh, after H.
Right. So we'll make everything else E, F, G, and then I'll make.
So you want to just leave the letters the same? We'll go ahead and do E called E after H. Is that okay?
Yeah. I just want to call it H, and then everything else we could just do right in order. If that's okay.
All right.
Because I already switched it on the minutes for next time. And then we would add a closed session concerning negotiations under ARS 38-341-0.03, which is the open meeting.
After E.
After E, which would now be H. Yes. Mm-hmm. If that's not confusing enough, we'll work on muddying it up a little.
Okay, close. Regarding negotiations?
Right. You have to state what the reason is, and there are, six or eight things that we can
negotiation of what again?
It's the negotiations of the five salaried employees.
Salaries
and what you would like to offer them.
Do you have anything? Do you? No, that's it.
All right.
With that being said, I would like to adopt the agenda.
Well, we have to make an amendment.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
We have to mention the amendment. You have to amend it.
Oh, okay. Well,
you have to mention the amendment.
Adopt the agenda as amended.
Adopt the agenda as amended, yes. I would like to make that motion to adopt the agenda as amended.
I second that motion.
Mr. Seconds.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item 2, call to the public.
Didn't have any. Ladies have anything?
All right.
I asked.
Item.
Smart. I have some.
Light it for
me. Item 3, consent agenda. A, approval of the minutes.
I have nothing.
You see anything recent?
I didn't.
I thought it was right, but...
I didn't look at it under my magnifying glass, but...
Put it in size 14 print next time.
No, but I didn't see anything.
Which one are you talking about, Teresa?
The minutes.
Huh? Do you have a change on it?
No, I said that I didn't see anything underneath my... I didn't see it with my magnifying glass.
Oh.
Enough. I didn't.
Everything's good. All right, moving on to presentation of the April financial report.
Okay, I gave you another copy. I wasn't too sure if it was in your packet or not.
I put it in the wrong order. I put vouchers first and a financial report second. Sorry.
Well, I still didn't see it in mine. But anyway, just regardless of that, the financial report shows the expense and payroll vouchers for April. As I said, I'm trying to do expense vouchers every week just because of the state of everything. The voucher 2034, that is large because it's the busy third quarter tuition payment, and that was $300,000 and change.
We didn't get a credit for that because they didn't go?
No. because our build-out lasts 2 weeks. And the voucher 2035, that has the health insurance for the month and the first payment to our new auditors, and that's why that's larger than normal. And I think, and then the payroll, they're about running about the same. So there's the total for April and the year to date for the year.
You guys all type all these up too, huh? The vouchers, yeah. Mm-hmm. The law.
Average on the kids coming and picking up their lunches? Still?
Yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's been a long week already. this week we had 140 or 141. We had been more than that, and I don't know why all of a sudden we had less this week. The most we've had, I think, was 179, and the least we had was 139, I think, 1 week. So it's right in that. We prepared 150, and then we had a few extras that we made just in case.
Mm-hmm. A lot of hard to anticipate, because then if you haven't made up there.
The last time we had 150, we turned away 35, 40 kids. So.
Well, you know, this time of year, a lot of those people going down and to see their families down farther down, too.
Yeah,
you know?
There's not a lot of people traveling.
Even though school's
right
not
now,
out.
They're kind of shutting that down, so. I don't know. We've had a lot of kids and parents coming into the office to get homework outside of the serving hours. So I don't know. It's still. I mean, it's still a good number. And the way the program works, we get $3.50. I think it is for every lunch we serve. The government pays us for, and every breakfast is, I want to say it's like $2.90 or $2.92.
So what is it for the lunch?
It's like $3.50, $3.51.
That's what we
so
get?
That's what we get through the program. So actually,
get $2.50 for breakfast?
We come out better. I want to say it's like $2.91 or something like that. Some odd number. But we actually come out better when we do this program than when we do our regular service. So, now, hopefully, when the Auditor General comes back on the food service, then now we'll look better. I don't know. We've definitely had a higher food cost paying out because we've gone through so much milk. It's crazy.
And then they're jacking up the prices of this stuff, too.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to get. I mean, there have been weeks where we couldn't get bread and when we couldn't get cereal. And so, but I think it's been very successful.
Moving on to approval of the April vouchers.
Did anyone see anything in the vouchers that they have a concern or question on?
I didn't.
And then approve surplus items to dispose of to clean up our grounds and sports areas. Again,
yeah, we're getting down there now. I mean, you know, this is three meetings in a row. There are three pages right after the finance report. One of them has a few items stated 4-7, and then two more pages after that.
That portable scoreboard isn't really a piece of crap.
They say portable scoreboard, but it wasn't portable. It was the one that they took down to put up the
right.
New one. Yeah,
oh, because so we got that one down. Freeport got that one.
Right.
Which was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they actually, I think, came and set it up for you. Took
right.
The other one down and set it on a pallet, and it's basically sat there. So, yeah, I don't believe it had any worth, so we didn't try to sell it because I was told by everybody that had anything to do with it that it wasn't any good. We had a popcorn maker that was broken, a steel trimmer.
What about the tiller?
the tiller, the motor was shot down. I thought we got rid of that. Did we get rid of that last time?
It says Craftsman tiller.
Okay, that could be the one then. I knew we were going to get rid of it anyway. It's the motor was shot and the tillers were rusted pretty much. So that, we
that,
just figured it wasn't.
The popcorn maker, the one that's broken.
Right.
Is there anything that we can use for the one that Mrs. Thomas has?
I think they took parts off of it wasn't a whole lot. But
Like door or something like that.
I think handle and there were just a couple of things. Otherwise, it was pretty used and abused.
What's with IAPMOC? What is that? Whatever that is.
It was a... We had a sink that they'd been taken off the wall and put out there, saved.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
And the urinal, they didn't have it set up.
Nothing better than a used urinal that just make you want to keep it along, you know. So it was one of the old type of urinals, and apparently they had changed to a different type. So they had it, and then I don't even know if it was used. I think it was an extra, and then they went to a new style of urinal, and so that one's been sitting out there. So we disposed it. It's one of the old ones that you saw in the old schools where they basically just went all the way down to the ground and it was cemented in.
Oh,
so.
Wow. All righty.
And then approves the sole source vendor list for the 2019-2020 school year.
Right. And this is something we should have done and we will do in the fall this year, but we realized that it hadn't been done. So
We didn't do it last year?
No.
Mm-mm.
We have to do it every year. So far at this point in 2019 and 2020, we have not taken it to
table. Well, last year's kind of a mishmash of...
It's the first time I've seen something like this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I thought we had done it.
No, not this year. Honestly, when we're going through all these audits and you're going through all the check boxes, and it just helps to read.
It's pretty much the same thing. We're not doing new bids on anything anyway, right?
Right.
Right.
All
right.
So that's all this... This basically is with these, then you don't need to go out and get bids because these are the only people that do the work that they do.
And it's the same ones that we use every year, right?
I don't think there's any changes. There's nobody new.
I miss the old days when we cut a deal with the buses, you know, and people had their own bus barn and you had your own gas and or they cut you a deal where you could get a break on the cost of gas, and you got to pay up like everybody else. So, too bad.
It's hard to find gas stations that have diesel.
Especially this
now. Now that we have diesel.
No, this right here can be amended. Like, let's say we approve this today, but let's say tomorrow when we talk.
If we find out we're missing one,
missing
we can
one?
Bring it and add it, yes.
Okay.
This is probably the same as we had last year anyway, right?
Yeah,
there may have
been a couple on there. I don't
remember,
but
yeah.
Yeah.
Usually, you kind of stick with what we got.
Good. Good.
I'm ready.
All right. I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second the motion.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And moving on to the action items, item 4A.
Did you change this contract a little bit?
Yeah.
I know they don't look.
This is from Candy. And our contracts that you handed out before were a couple of pages.
Right.
This one is pretty much ironclad and has everything in it.
Oh, good.
And so we took a
and
lot of time.
And Mrs. Candy Party did this one?
Candy Party did
great.
It, yeah. It
good
took
job.
A while to get. She just reviewed ours, and then she gave us one, and she made sure that it was updated through the new laws in effect now, so it's updated through everything that we would see today. So
and that base salary is a sample.
But yes, that's just the number that was
right.
in there as a place saver, basically. Yes. So we'll we don't have to approve this or anything. I just wanted to go through it so you guys saw what the new contract will look like.
I haven't seen this yet.
Right. And so what we would like to do, and our plan would be to do this start tomorrow, is to fill out all of the contracts for each teacher, which we're going to get to the teacher salaries shortly here, and then we'll put the right salary in and everything. The only difference is, and what Candy says, if you can get to it, is what she would recommend, is to put any added positions like extracurricular, et cetera, on the main contract. But we're not ready to do that, and you guys usually approve as the season approaches.
You mean like testing? Or?
Could be if we paid a testing coordinator, a title coordinator, right, a baseball coach, a basketball coach.
That just be added to the salary later?
Right. It's an addenda information. In other words, anything we're adding to that basic contract.
Okay.
So, but what we will do with the things that we add to the contract is we will still go with that small, short contract that you are used to. And then we will add on there, refer to your main contract for any other questions.
Okay.
So that everything's in line with this. But I just want to make sure everybody got to see this. She spent a lot of time and made sure, and then so this is what she gave to all of her schools that she works with. And I believe she shared it with the trust, so I wouldn't be surprised if almost everybody's not using it. So that brings me to the real point of A, and that would be to present and discuss and then hopefully vote on approval of a certified staff salary increase. The state allotted 5%. I don't know where monies and everything will be next year, but that 5% is to take care of any increases that your staff would see. Part of that increase is going to be your benefits, and that benefits, I think it was $500 and $503 or something like that. So I rounded it off to $500. And I did it two different ways, and I color coordinated it more for me than you maybe, but I just like to see where one ends and one doesn't, and the other one is. So the yellow would be the one I would recommend, and I'm trying to keep a couple of things in mind. Donna and I had a meeting, is that a week ago now or 2 weeks ago? A week ago, where they talk about the fact that they're be prepared for two tough years coming up after this year. I mean, that's pretty straight shooting. I've heard it, anywhere in that 15% cut range over a two-year period. So, I don't know if if Arizona's thinking they'll go 8-7, if they'll go 10-5, if they're just going to cut 15% and then give you a 0% the next year. They're expecting to use up their whole entire rainy day fund and cut. So, in order for us to be prepared, personally, I really don't want to go out and give something and then turn around and have to fire three teachers because we pay too much or whatever. So I tried to look at what would A, be a fair amount, and B, hit everybody the same in similar ways, because then hopefully it's not so high that it pushes your tiers up so that you just price yourself right out of the ability to bring or have teachers at the top end of your salary scale. So, in the yellow, I did 5%. I took all of the salaries, I added them up, I multiplied it by 5%, I subtracted $500 times 17, because we have 17 teachers, okay? I subtracted that from the 5% amount of the salary, I took what was left and I divided it by 17. And that basically gives every teacher the exact same amount, $1,364 raise. Okay. Pluses and minuses, okay? The pluses are it's straight down the middle, everybody's treated the same, and over the next couple of years when we're probably looking at cuts, at least everybody got something now, because I truly don't know what it's gonna look like. Okay, the purple or dark pink or whatever color that looks like to you, I'm not 100% sure. What I did there was I just took each individual teacher salary, like I took teacher A1, I multiplied it by 5%, I subtracted $500, and then they get that salary increase. And you can see on teacher A1, that salary increase would be $180 less, basically $179. Okay? But down, if you go down to teacher D2, that teacher at a higher salary, we would multiply the 5%, subtract 500, and they would have gotten a $1,656 raise.
That particular person, oh, never mind, go ahead. Never mind.
In place of that, they're going to get $1,346, same as everybody else. And so, like I said, with both of these, there's good and bad. One is trying to treat everybody the same. Two is people that have been here longer get more this year, and then if we turn around and people don't get anything next year, that really, you know, I mean, Arizona's salaries are tough enough the way they are. So I would recommend yellow because I'm thinking long run, over the term of 3 years, I think it's more fair to the entire staff. But I also am a person who's been around education for a long time, and I know when I taught 20, 30 years, you know, I thought I deserved probably a little bit more than somebody who had taught 5 years. So I understand both ends of it. That's why you guys get to make the tough decisions. But that both of these scenarios make your 5% increase work. And there are within less than a dollar difference in the amount of money we would pay out by the salary increases. Okay? Yep. So when you take that 5%, just make sure then subtract your 500, and that shows you. And so the staff was split almost in half of the people that would get more than 1364 and the people that would get less than 1364. So.
I like the yellow one, just because I think it's fair across the board. Everybody gets the same amount of raise. And really, there isn't that much of a difference between yearly income on between the yellow and the pink. If we could take a close look at all of those incomes, is fairly close. It's not that.
Well,
that much of a difference.
I mean, in all honesty, one of the things I really want to see is us build a really strong team and cooperative. And so the only thing I could see the salary thing being a divisory thing. And I do know we've got, you know, three people that are way up there on the top that would take a bigger hit. But in all honesty, I think those three people would understand. And if we had a really good working together staff, they would gladly make $150 or whatever less and be happy and part of a real solid team. But that's just me thinking of them. So I don't want to put words in their mouths. But I do think that's why I went with the yellow. I just felt that was the fairest. But it's your decision.
We got a friend outside.
Yeah, there's a couple kids running around out there too. So. There's a dog. Yeah, they're playing basketball.
Yeah, I've had some kids. And some parents coming up every evening to get up here. As I'm trying to walk out and lock the door, they're coming in.
I'm ready.
Which one would you go with?
I'm leaning on 4. I'm the yellow one.
The yellow one? Teresa?
The thing is that people aren't going to like what happens, the trickle down after things seize up and the monies get jerked away. We're not going to have any say in that anyway.
I know. You know? I really did. I tried to look at this over the content, over the concept of the 3 years.
Right.
And that's why I say the yellow. You know, if it were just 1 year and we had a normal year and there was no COVID and we hadn't closed and we weren't worried about the whole rainy day funds gone, I would say that, you know, just go ahead and keep building your steps. This also does keep the steps in at the same level of distance between them as you had already, because we would just put $1,364 on every step of the salary scale. So, but.
Yellow. All right. I would like to make a motion to approve item 4A, approving option yellow. Can I get a second, please?
I second the motion.
Lisa, second.
Aye.
12B, prestige discussion and possible vote on approving the recommendation of approving the list of classified staff, paraprofessionals, and kitchen staff to offer contracts for next year.
All right, so I have a sheet. The next two sheets will deal with this area. The first sheet is the recommendation that we would offer contracts to the seven paras, and that it also has the areas in which they work and are paid, and then the three kitchen staff.
Now, these paras, you know, who are all these people have their documents and their certified?
Highly certified. They've either had their, all they have to have is 2 years of college, or they have to take their, I can't remember what the test is called now.
Para pro
test.
Right.
I believe all of these have either, the ones that came in last year had that, and I'm under the assumption that we had everybody prior to that had that.
I was under the impression that there was a couple here that aren't. So I just wondered if you knew or not.
I know we had to go through all of their files like 19 times, so, and that was one of the things we looked at. So I thought we had everybody done, but I will, I can have...
I'll drop it on you, the couple that I was talking about later.
Okay.
And so we didn't have a resignation like we assumed we thought was going to happen.
Right.
Okay.
We did. Well, that resignation was actually coming out of the
custodial
right. area, but I'm going to deal with that next time. Mm-hmm. I met with custodians today and went through some things.
Okay.
And I have a scenario for you.
Oh, good.
So
yeah, I saw that. Good. Perfect.
Pretty much the same people we have right now.
Exactly. There's no change in who I would bring back. We do have the possibility of having the possibility that we may have to hire someone for another special ed position for about 5 hours a week. Hmm. So that might, we might have to try to couple that with a few other hours for something else.
You blend right into that wall behind you. Did you plan that? Your color pointed shirt and all?
Yeah, no. And then the color doesn't all match either. So I
almost didn't see you over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right.
I'm ready.
You want to make a motion?
No.
You?
Just to approve?
Yeah.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the classified staff, paraprofessional, and kitchen staff contract. For next year.
I'll second that motion.
Aye.
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 All right. Item 4C, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on classified pay scale increase for the 2020-21 school year.
All right. So, with all of the things I just said, dealing with the teachers. I tried to keep all of that in mind. I also looked at what we did for increases last year. And I also want you to know that on January 1st, there's going to be another increase in
minimum wage.
And it's going to go up about to $12.25, I think is what we're looking at. So what I did was I put on a small raise that I know that will help us keep things in budget as I look through the next 3 years. Again, I tried to do everything in that three-year window. I kept the increases small, but knowing that on the first two or three steps, we're going to have to increase on January 1. So we'll come back in December when we know it's going to be for sure, $12.25, and we'll approve that. I know last summer we did something the exact opposite, and there were different reasons for why I wanted to do that, because I didn't want to change the payments and things. I think right now we're in a much better position, and we've got things cleaned up right now. I feel much better about where we are now than where we were last year.
Last year we still had to give them the minimum wage. We did that. Right?
We did.
Right. And then we also gave them another little lift too, right? Yeah.
They got more. They got more than.
Right. They got the 500 because of their one more year. Or that
they, yeah, they definitely got a much better raise last year than.
I think we only had one under minimum. That was going to be under minimum
right
at that time.
And I think this year we're only talking about one or two people.
Right. Yeah.
So we're not. It's not going to affect many on January 1. But I just have a different philosophy on that, simply because I feel we're in a better place and we can make that small adjustment, and it's not going to goof payroll up.
Right.
So that's why I'm making that recommendation to this. And then, of course, it's up to you if you would like to revisit it and change the amounts or go to what it's going to be on January 1. I can redo that.
So what do you think? Do you think we should go ahead and wait till January 1 to do this?
I do, for two reasons. Number one,
because we don't
one,
know what's going to happen
it,
right
yeah,
now.
It's not going to be a huge impact, but
right.
I'm just looking at every little bit might help. And if we get into a situation where they take 5 to 10% away from us next year, every $1,000 that we don't spend will be $1,000 that we have for next
year.
That's
true. And we don't know what's going to come down the pike here.
I believe Don and I were looking at it. I don't remember what we figured it was going to be between $1,500 and $2,000 savings if we waited and did it on January 1. And that's not a slight to the employees, but it's just we're in a better place right now in being able to do the payroll. And we're in a tougher place financially right now because we know what's going to probably come.
Well, and the coronavirus, we don't know what's going to happen in the fall, and things could fall apart again. And I think that we need to really kind of be cautious, you know, with our money.
Yeah, we very much could end up right back into the path.
And they got a good jump last year, too.
Yeah.
So.
How many people get affected?
I believe it's two, isn't it?
Two.
Two what?
They'll only be affected by not doing it right now.
Right.
That's why I say it's not a huge amount of money. But it's all. Then also, I mean, then I look at it like, well, then at least after Christmas.
Happy New Year, you know what we're dealing with.
June, so.
Yeah.
You, anything?
Yeah.
You want to make a motion on that?
If I did, I would. You go ahead, Mr. Beckman.
Do you want to make a motion?
Yep. I want to make a motion to. Are we waiting till January 1st to do the pay increase?
Yeah, okay. We'll give the raise as is presented, and then we'll implement the minimum wage increase
okay.
on January 1st.
I want to make a motion to wait till January 21st, 2021, for the salary increase on the paraprofessional and kitchen staff. Is it both of them?
Well, there's a small increase on this, so I would say let's raise that you you move to approve the salary scale increase for the non-certified or the classified,
mm-hmm.
and we don't even have to say anything about that minimum wage increase because
okay.
we're bringing that back in December.
Okay. So, again, sorry. I want to make a motion to...
To approve the pay increase.
To approve the pay increase
for the classified employees.
Non-classified employees, right?
Classified.
Classified employees. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
All right.
But we're doing the one on the left.
It's actually the one on the right.
On
the
right.
One on the left
1%.
Is the one that's in place
okay.
right now.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. There's not like a. It's just left and right.
Okay.
So that's okay.
Okay.
Right.
So I'll go ahead and second Brisa's motion.
I'm so sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 4D, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on plan to restructure the custodial and maintenance staffing and the structure.
All right. So, in your packet, I have a plan that I've been working on. First of all, I have a letter from Ramon Valdez. And I didn't bring it because I don't have to have the letter for you, but I'll bring it because it'll actually go in place on July 1. But he wrote a letter requesting to drop down to 20 to 24 hours a week.
So what does he have anyway? Because I thought he was supposed to be a part-time employee.
Well, your former maintenance person was part-time, and Ramon had been working as a 40-hour employee, correct?
Oh, so that's 20 a week.
So, yeah, so for a few different reasons, it works out better. What this does, he did not need the benefits, and he used a lot of his time off, and so that when he needed to do something, he was running out of time off like we have a few other employees. Well, with it being a part-time employee, you don't get paid time off. So if you're gone, you just don't get paid. And so what we're going to do is look at a four-day. I sat down and went through this with Armando, what I saw, and we talked about it and felt like it was a good plan. But we're looking at having a maintenance person 4 days a week. And then that fifth day, I'm usually here to open up, but I will move Armando's time up to 6:45 and then trickle down. With that, we would bring in the head custodian at 7:30 in the morning, and we would have him here until 4:00 with the lunch. And then I've just labeled it custodian one and custodian two, without putting any names on it for different reasons. But custodian one would then come into work at about 9:00, and they would leave at 5:15, and they would take a lunch. So that would put them between 35 and 40 hours per week. And the contract for them would say 35 to 40 hours per week. Custodian number two would come in at 11:00 and work till 6:30, and would take a supper or lunch, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of a mid-afternoon thing. And would work up to 35 hours a week. Now, there's a cut in the custodial and maintenance group. It's 16 hours of savings minimum just on the maintenance part. And on the custodial end, it's about 7 hours less time. We've had a huge problem in getting a couple of these individuals, or one particular, to be at work. And so sat down with them and really laid this out and said, you know, this is how it's got to be, and we have to be at work.
And so they're going to commit that they're going to be here.
They have until the day after Labor, Memorial Day, not Labor Day. Sorry, wrong.
Like a probationary period.
Memorial Day to make that commitment, and they understand after our visit that means if they call in and they don't have sick days, it's an automatic termination. So we're very straightforward. We had a very good talk, and I think we're all on the same page. And we need to make some improvements here because we just have to have people show up. And
so let me ask you,
I'm done with that horse and pony show.
This one person, the maintenance person, that goes 20 to 24 hours a week. So if he's working over 40 hours a week, are we paying overtime?
No. He's working 40 hours a week. He is paid 40 hours a week.
Oh, I didn't know if he worked 24 a week, if he's working 24 each week, or if he works less the second week, and it all just kind of...
Just 20 to 20. I put a neighborhood in there two reasons. One, if there's nothing to do, I can send him home.
Right.
And if I have, so specifically on his contract, 24 hours a week, I can't send him home.
Right.
Because then they're going to look at that contract, and they're going to look at his time card and say, why doesn't he have a leave-in, or why did he not work 24 hours when you say he's going to work
24
hours?
Next week he can work less hours
to
make
up for
that.
So if we put that window in, that's helpful to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why I also have a window in on custodial number two.
Now, the head custodian, why are you considering the salary position?
Okay. I'm looking at two things. What I've done is I asked Donna to pull up the salaries. The whole reason behind this is when we pulled up the salaries, when we took the one part-time custodial maintenance person, three custodians, and full-time maintenance, you had a payroll and benefits of over $200,000 a year. For a school our size, that's enormous. Okay? So what we needed to do was to get that in line. And why I would put the head custodian on a salary is because what I'd like to make sure is, number one, first of all, that's the person who gets the phone calls every time. They're the first call if the alarm goes off. Okay, so if it's a Saturday morning or whatever and the alarm goes off, he's coming up to check it out anyway.
Right.
But he's not punching in, and so he should have some type of compensation. So putting him on a salary position, if he had to come up here Saturday morning at 2 in the morning for an hour, then what I would do is I would just say, hey, you worked that hour Saturday, which day do you want to go home early?
And so is that going to get a bump too, other than...
No, basically what we're going to do is we're going to look at what that
entails
would be, take the number of hours, look at how many hours he's averaged for the last 2 years, which is basically 80 every 2 weeks, and then multiply it out. So he would get an increase due to the pay scale that he would get. Anyway, that's how we would base it. It's just that then we don't have to have him punching in, and we're a little more flexible in how we can use
that makes
him
sense.
And his hours.
Yeah.
So, and he, I talked to him, he seemed to feel that was a good idea. So, you know, I think it works out good for both,
right.
both people.
Okay, good job.
Custodian 1 and Custodian 2, are they going to be, well, I know Custodian 2 is not, but Custodian 1, is he going to be full-time?
He or she would still be considered full-time. Both of them would actually be over 30 hours, so they're going to be considered full-time. They're all both going to qualify for benefits.
What are you talking about, number 2?
Custodian 1 and Custodian 2.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Custodian 1, the scheduled time is going to be slightly under 40 hours, but we had so many times where we picked up for somebody else, you know, and I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But if we needed an extra half an hour here or there, it's not going to throw us into bankruptcy and overtime. We'd be okay with that. And we're going to alter things, like in the lunchroom, we won't have three custodians on staff at the same time. We're going to basically have one, and we're going to have some student help, and we're going to rotate, so when we have a new person come on, we get to send somebody at lunch, and when they come back, we'll send another person, and we'll alternate that way.
I think that's a good idea, because then it also gives us, number two, a little time without having somebody else with them to focus on what they're doing as the one also.
Well, and most of our cleaning happens after 2:30.
Right.
I mean, you know, so a lot of the things that are going on during the day are, if a kid throws up, somebody's got to go do that. We mop the kitchen floor and take care of that after breakfast. You know, we stock the bathrooms. I mean, there's things we're doing, but most of the cleaning is sort of happening after 2:30. So there's plenty of time to get that done. I can vouch for that from the many times that I vacuumed and swept and dumped garbages in this area, that we could get that done in 3 hours. It happens. So sometimes you may have to pick it up a little bit, but you can get it done. So I don't think there's any problem. The only thing is the head custodian and I are going to sit down and we're going to review the duties of each position and where they're going to be. And there might be some shuffling of who's, you know, so it's not always, I've been cleaning the library for the last 10 years, this is my domain. Well, you know, that might not work so well. So we're gonna revisit that and kind of even out the loads.
What about, to be quite frank with you, let's say one custodian calls out sick. Is that head custodian going to have to pick up the slack for the one that called out sick?
Well, at this point right now, we do have a person who works in the kitchen who subs for us quite often, who's very good. And if we know, you know, but that's exactly what my conversation was about today.
Okay.
Because it's when that one person calls in sick, the other two custodians come over here, I come over here, or if we can get Dolores to stay and clean, Dolores will do it. Mm-hmm. But that's where it's been, and it's a when you're a team,
yeah,
everybody gives.
Right.
It's not always one person taking.
Okay.
And that was the point we got across today, and I think it was received and understood.
Good.
I'll leave it at that.
Good job.
So so I will have those recommendations for you next time. Okay, so, but I wanted to share the plan, so there's nothing to really vote on unless there's somebody who would like me to make an adjustment. If you want to give me a direction on that, I certainly can do that.
You don't need a vote to restructure the maintenance?
No, but when we adopt who's going to be doing what at the next meeting, then that will all be included in it. And I will bring that letter from Ramon, too, because we'll be cutting him from.
Since you have a possible vote, that doesn't really nail us down.
A what now?
It says possible.
Right, possible vote.
Right.
So and I just want to make sure we had that discussion in the open.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still an action item, so we got to take action on it.
Yeah, but it says possible vote.
Right, so what we can do is just table this for action until the next meeting when I have specific.
Yeah, I'm okay with just approving it right now.
The only thing would be is if we can approve the plan, we're still going to have to approve the custodians at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that we can certainly do that, then I just bring back the jigsaw puzzle and put the names in there. And if you're all right with that, that's fine.
Yeah. In that case, let me make a motion to approve the plan of restructuring the custodial and maintenance staff.
Second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't think what I said originally was, should we just go ahead and vote to restructure?
Yeah, you do.
All right, and then moving on to action item F. First stage discussion and possible vote on the purchase of a washer and dryer for the school use.
All right. So, this is one of those things that I tell the teachers, there's wants and needs. This is kind of a want, but I believe it's turned into more of a need, and here's why. We tackled the storage room behind Mr. Hernandez's coach's office that hasn't been cleaned since either the late 1990s or early 2000s.
The what again?
It's been a lot.
Mr. Marshall was here.
Yes, and probably a few years before he left.
What hasn't been cleaned?
There's a big storage room back there. Hmm. All right, so we got everything out, and how everything was in there, I don't know, because it almost filled up the gym. But anyway, we got it out, we organized it, we put it back, we cleaned everything, and there's a spot where we had this big old ice machine that didn't work, okay? And one of the things that we've had happen, okay, and there's going to be a few reasons why I'd like to do this. First of all, we had some instances where we had children who came to school last year who stunk. Okay, they needed their clothes washed. Mom wasn't washing the clothes, didn't have time, whatever the problem was. And all we needed to do was get some of the sweats that we've got sitting in there, put them on them for a while, call the parents, of course, and just say, you've got the opportunity to wash their clothes and give them a new set of clothes, take their clothes down, wash them, and give them back to them clean. I did this at both of the other schools that I was at. And actually, it went over well. You would think it was like some parents would get very angry, but a lot of times they need help, and they don't have time or they don't have the facilities at home. Second of all, we buy rags. I don't know any other better term for that than that, but we buy towels and rags for cleaning, and we use them, and then when we're done with them, we throw them away. And if we have the ability to clean, we can get two or three or four uses out of them, the cleaning rags that we use. And then when they get really bad, we can use them for cleaning in the bathrooms and some of that kind of really cruddy places. And then after we've used them there for a while, we can throw them away. But then we can get some. Right now, we use them and then we chuck them. And they get really gross. I mean, I took a box home that I dug out of that closet. I took a box and I left it by the washer, and my wife asked me what it was, and I said, I need you to wash that for me, dear. And she was not happy with me because they were really gross. But we can get three or four uses out of them and then cycle them down to the next level and keep using them, and then when they're really bad, we will have to throw them away. But we can get more than one or two uses of them because we don't have facilities to clean now. And Armando and I talked about how the person, when they're leaving, at 4 o'clock, they take all of the cloths, cleaning cloths. We put them in the washer. We wash that load before the last person leaves at night. They go down and they open the lid, and then in the morning, when the first person comes, they'll throw them in the dryer. And if you just put that on, we can have that taken care of. We can save. I don't know, but I mean, if we're able to do that, you can save a few thousand dollars in a year just on the cloths. purchase. Now, you have more cost buying the machine. I wanted to get two heavy-duty stackable machines so they don't take up a lot of room. And the second thing is, obviously, you're going to have to buy soap. You're going to have to buy some sanitizing and bleach stuff, and you're going to have to also probably get some fabric softener or something.
Do you think that will still offset all the paper products that we may not even be able to get in the fall if this all happens?
Well, who knows about that, but I mean the towel. When I say towels, I literally mean big towels.
Yeah.
You know, we clean with them. We clean the gym floors. We do a lot of stuff, and they get black. You know, they get. But if we just clean for a day and we took them down and threw them in instead of using them for 3 or 4 days and throwing them away, I think we can. We can get some longevity out of them and ultimately save some money. And then it gives us the freedom for when we have that kid coming that needs the laundry. It helps us when the coach collects the uniforms at the end of the year. If they did it like I did, I took a big garbage bag. In the last game, I told the kids, make sure you bring extra clothes, especially if you're coaching girls and you're a guy. And you put that garbage bag in the locker room and they fill it up and you bring it back and you check off everything. And you throw it right in the darn wash machine and get rid of all the makeup and all that kind of stuff. But I think it would be beneficial, and I think it wouldn't take up that much room. And we looked at three different areas, and we're looking at about somewhere between $1,000 and $1,100. And we can put it right up against the wall of the bathroom where we can tap right into the water, and we've got the sewage right there. So we've got every line there. The only thing we'd have to do would be to run exhaust for the dryer out through the roof. And if we put the dryer obviously on top, you're closer to getting into the roof, get it cut, get it popped up to the side. And I think it would be beneficial. And I mean, we could certainly table it and we can talk about it next time and you could chew on it. I didn't really mean to catch you guys off guard with it, but the more we talked about it and the more we found out, especially with the use of the towels and trying to save a little bit of money, it seemed like it was something that we talk about now so we have it in place. And it's not something we need to wait till school starts, because actually they're still cleaning and using cloths and stuff all the time, so we could really start putting that in place anytime.
So I like the idea of washing the clothes of, let's say, some student is playing the game and they get sweaty, and you know, because like I remember when I was in school, we had what we called loaners. So like the students that didn't bring PE clothes, they'll get the loaners issued to them so that they can do PT. PE, I'm sorry, military.
Yeah, gotcha.
mentality. So I remember that. I like the idea of washing these kids' clothes if they really need them. My concern would be is, are we going to be using the same rags that are being used to clean the toilets, washing them, and then coming over here to the cafeteria?
No, what we would do is we would just have that cycle so it's going down. Mm-hmm. So you're using them for wiping down doors and whatever, you're cleaning tables. After you're done with that, then they would go into the bin where we're cleaning the toilets and the really dirty, disgusting, filthy things. But the sanitizing of the tables, that's why we would have to get some soap or some sanitizer to put in. Armando and I talked about that. Getting some sanitizer so when we're washing the stuff that we're doing with towel or with the tabletops and the clean things, that's got to be sanitized.
You can get buckets. We get them at the hall.
Oh, yeah. They have big buckets with little hoses that just automatically will add everything.
Separate, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can do that. That'll cost a little bit more. But I do think by the time we look at the end of the year, I think we're going to save well more than we're going to spend in the soap and sanitizer and bleach by not having to buy so many towels. But yeah, we're not going to wash a cloth one day that we were cleaning the bathroom toilets with, and the next day it's going to be out here to wipe off the tables at lunch. No, it's got to be a progressive thing, yeah.
And then the other thing that I have is it really worth it? So we're going to be saving, you said about $1,000 yearly. We're probably going to be spending that on doing the hookups for maybe electrical, doing the hookups for
electrical already exists.
Okay, the plumbing, the vents, and all that.
I don't know. I know for sure we're going to save over $1,000. I asked Armando to run it for me today and look at how many times we ordered cloths or rags during the year. Because Donna looked and saw, found some, but we don't always order from the same company. And sometimes we have the amount we paid, but we don't have the exact items listed. So
you're talking about that room off of the gym anyway, right?
That back room off of the gym,
right,
yeah.
And so that has a lot of outlets. And
well, and see, like, if you had a kid who came to school and they just hadn't been able, you know, like, we had some kids that were in tough shape or whatever, or they just had a bad odor. You can take them down there. You've got a locker room for them to change, and they can give you the clothes. You can go in and you can wash them. You can walk the kid back, and they can go back to class for a little bit. And then you go. We can have an aide that helps out that way, and then they can go down and get the clothes, throw them in the dryer, get them, you know, straightened out, and then take the kid out. Don't bring the clothes back to the classroom and say, "Here, Johnny." You know,
right.
I mean. I don't know. I wish I had an exact amount for you. I firmly believe that we'd save well over by the time we purchased all that stuff versus continually buying all the cloths. We'd come out ahead by well over $1,000. But I can't give you a set number until Armando tells me how many times we order those cloths. Like, is it however many every 3 weeks, or are we ordering every month, or is it every 2 months? So he was going to look that up and let me know.
Well, it has to be better than paper towels that just are going in the trash, you know, too.
Well, I think, like, even the uniforms, you know. I mean, some kids have the facilities and they can take it home. Personally, as a coach, and I never wanted my kids to take their uniforms home after the last game, because sometimes you never saw them again.
Right.
Got hard to get them. It's much easier when you know they got them at the game and they just have a bag, and after they come out of the locker room, they throw them in the bag. Mm-hmm. And so then you can clean them and take care of that stuff. I mean, there's just a few things. But it is more of a want. It's not an absolute necessity. But I'm trying to find ways that where I think we can save small amounts of money that eventually would add up. That's just my recommendation to you to think about. And we certainly can table it until I have a little more complete so that I can give you a better idea of what we could save. But again, I can't tell you exactly how much we're going to spend on the sanitizer and soap until we run it for a year.
Yeah.
Once we run it for a year, then we'll have a much better idea.
Another
I
thing
can
too
tell how much we pay for it and let you know, because it's a 5-gallon thing, you know, the disinfectant and the bleach and all that.
I don't want a child to get used to coming to school and he's going to have his clothes washed, just
right.
and that's going to become a habit, and the parents are going to then depend on that.
I think he's talking about it in certain situations, or the, you know.
Yeah, I think that's
not,
right.
It's not
right.
Every
now and then.
I would say last year we probably had 5 or 6 times where people said, "I wish we could just wash their clothes." I mean,
yeah.
You know, we just don't have that capability. I mean, it just gets the kids wore the same clothes for 7 or 8 days in a row, and it hasn't been, you know, they still got that same dirt spot from where the kid kicked them with their tennis shoe yesterday on the playground. It's still there, or 2 days ago. That's the kind of situations I mean. Yeah, I'm not talking about where we would just do a laundry service for anybody that showed up, but it's more of a emergency situation
and necessity type thing.
Yeah, and then for some of the things that we could do. But again, I was very straightforward with that. To me, it's probably more of a want than an absolute need. So if you guys would like, I could try to get some more thorough information and give you a better estimate on what we could say, and we could table it until the next meeting.
What about I remember when I used to work as a security guard at a mall. And our uniforms were washed. We had this company that would come pick up all of our uniforms and they would wash them for us and then bring them back, all nice and pressed. And
we did that for about. They were doing that for the first year when I was at the first school I was at in Minnesota. They had they had a washer and dryer, and one of the guys who actually was one of my coaches when I was in high school was bringing his laundry in every Sunday during open gym, and he'd do his laundry while he had open gym, and, you know, they got a little upset about that, so they got rid of the washer and dryer, and they went to this service, and the service was costing so much money that we went away from it. It just depends on how much you use it, too, and, you know, but a lot of times then they bring you the towels and stuff. They furnish all that. You don't have to. So there are pluses and minuses with that, too. I do know that it was more spending. We went away from it, and we went out and bought a washer and dryer because it was more cost-effective. But you have, as long as you have a plan, like when we talked today about this person would run the load and this person would open it up and this person would dry the load. You know, I mean, if you have something like that, I think...
And it's not going to be like anybody can go in there and utilize it anyway.
No.
And so I think this would be an asset because... I always thought it was strange we didn't have one personally.
Well, I think it's strange we don't have a shower. I wish we had a shower also.
Yeah.
I really do. But
just hold them down.
Yeah, well.
What do you think?
I like the idea of having a washer and dryer.
You like it?
I think it makes more sense. And I, again, because of what we're going through right now, I think it's important to have maybe the ability to sanitize things if need be. And right now, sometimes you can't even find paper towels, you know? So. Stuff like that.
We could give it a shot.
I think so. How much did you say approximately?
They were $547 each. So
$1,044 was the lowest on the two.
A stackable.
With tabs, yeah. And these were more heavy duty. They had some of those that are already pre-stacked. But they're so small and they're not heavy duty and they cost as much or more.
More.
Yeah, I think it was like, that one was like $15 or $20 a month.
Okay.
So.
I like it. I want to make a motion to approve the purchase of a washer and dryer for school use.
Second that?
You are seconding it?
No.
You don't want to second it?
No.
Okay, I'll second it.
Aye.
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 You don't want to second it, but you vote for it? What does that mean?
Just wanted to get you involved.
Yeah.
I don't think so. We're at that train already.
All right, next action item, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on purchase of a new shampoo machine.
All right, so I have the bids in a three-page packet for you. We had Waxy came over and demonstrated their machines. They had two machines that they brought. One of them was $1,402, and one of them was 2800. The 2800 was the best of all the machines that we got a quote on. It had four or five different speeds. It has the ability to change how much water goes into the carpet and then how much suction is used so that there's how much water residue is left in the carpet. It was the nicest by far. And it was better than the other companies that we looked at, price-wise, for that type of machine. The other companies' machines that we got quotes on were equal to the $1,400 Waxy machine. So after discussing it and trying it out and shampooing a third of the library, Armando and Francis said that the... that better machine was much better, and they felt like it would be easier on the carpet because it didn't use as much water, and they would then also be able to use that about, you know, like maybe twice a month on getting the hallway and the library and things like that done, and it's not leaving so much water, so it would be easier on the carpet as well as not using as much cleaning solution.
And it's really kind of right, like it's not the other with the, well, I guess it's right in the same place as the other one. Huh?
Right. So the one that they would like to purchase is the 577615. It's the ES300XP.
In the middle, huh?
Yeah, but it is a very nice machine. I mean, it's one of the nicest shampoo machines. Most of the shampooers, that I've seen anyway, have the one speed, one water amount, one, you know, and this one does It worked really nice. It was very easy. It also comes with a appliance, whatever you want to call it, where you can do upholstery and stuff like that.
Which one?
The XP 300. That's included in it. With the other one that we looked at, that 1400, you had to pay a couple of $100 more to get an upholstery cleaner with it. So.
And we can use those with the couches that we have.
The couches and stuff, yeah.
In the library.
Yeah, they probably should be cleaned. So.
How much does the really, really nice one cost?
The really nice one, really. Well, there's another one that's $4,200. It's the same machine, only bigger. This is the little brother of the big machine. Their very best is about $4,200. But this one is a smaller machine, but it's got all of the changes and the upholstery cleaner and everything. So it's $2,825.24.
And if we get the big one, is that going to be useful?
That bigger one, $4,000?
Yeah.
Armando wasn't, his comment to me was that this one was a perfect size because it was a good size for Francis and everybody else. And that bigger one was up actually about 7 or 8 inches higher. Hmm. So this one was, very easy to handle.
The thing that they use for like hospitals and
that one is I don't remember that. This has a 20 or 22 inch scrubber and sucker on it, for no better term. I'm not sure what you call them. But that one, it was like 6 or 8 inches wider. So it's like you get done in a big area faster, but when you're weaving in and out of furniture and stuff like in the library, this one just seemed like it would be much better. So they really liked this one. This was the one they wanted to get.
Which one?
The $2,825, the ES300 XP.
ES300
on the
XP?
First page, yes.
Okay.
So that's the one that they asked for, and that's the one I'm recommending to you because of those reasons.
All right. You have anything?
Mm-hmm.
You have anything?
Okay.
Nothing?
Go ahead.
All right, I would like to make a motion to approve the purchase of the Advanced ES300 XP.
I second the motion.
Aye.
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 Right. Okay.
And then moving on to action item H, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving Fund 12 and Fund 13 amounts.
All right. So, these are two of the funds that were tied at Christmas. We had Indian Gaming and Fund 11, that PPP or 301 plan that was put in place. In these two funds, there is, if you take our 17 teachers and you divide the amount that we have available, there's $1,950 per teacher. In Fund 12, that's with the evaluations, and what decides if you qualify for that. You must score at least I think it's like a 2.5 on your evaluation, which is the lowest satisfactory that you can get. And you must attend 70% of the professional development training that we have. 70% is kind of a low number, so this was really, I think an easy one. We might have to work on making this a little more challenging. But this is a kind of almost a whole school. It's partial in individual because you've got those two levels, but it's not very hard for the teachers to reach this one. And all of our teachers will qualify for this bonus. The 13th, that's the 12th fund. The 13th fund is broken down between six categories, and we are waiting right now on the Azella test. And I can tell you right now, we have possibly three teachers who may get this. The amount of the bonus will be the same. It'd be $1,950. We have two teachers that I'm pretty sure are going to get it. And one teacher, it's a 50-50 shot right now. It really depends on the Azella testing. So there would only be three. I will bring you those names at the next board meeting because the Azella tests are supposed to be in next week. So hopefully they're on time. I know they've been thrown back a little with the COVID. But all of our teachers will qualify for the 012 fund, so we need to approve that. And I will bring you the names for the 013 fund, but by approving the amount right now, that's part of one of the things the auditors want us to have.
And there's two?
There are two, and they're both $1,950. The first one, the 012, every one of our teachers qualified for, so they will all get that. The second one is the 013, and it looks like two for sure, and possibly three teachers will qualify for that. So that's where that one is.
Any discussion?
No.
I would like to make a motion to approve action item 8, the fund 012. And the amount for 013, with understanding that we will have the teachers that will qualify for 013 at our June meeting.
Correct.
I second that motion.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And then if we, this should be a very short closed session, but if we can move into the closed session, executive session right now under ARS 38341-03.
What about E?
That is E. That's what we're going
to do. Okay. That is the closed session? Okay.
Yeah, that's the one. All right. So if we could do that, if we could have you guys step out into the beautiful weather for give us 5 minutes.
Yeah, let me go ahead and let me make a motion to adjourn the open meeting at 6:28. Second?
I second the motion.
Is a second? Aye.
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 6:28.
6:28.
Okay.
Is there anything that we can read off to that clause?